You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is here to chew through cinematic joy. You can check out his blog at filmology.com. That is spelt with a PH. Josh, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, we're going to chat Looper in a moment, which is one of those brain-teasing, time-travelling, confusing films. I'd like to hear your favourite brain-teaser film. We've put together the sound of a few of them for you. Kind of think Inception, Back to the Future, and then Memento.
We can still be together, right here, in the world we built together.
I'm sorry, you're just not good enough.
Whoa, this is heavy.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Where am I? Some anonymous motel room.
I guess I've already told you about my condition.
Oh, well, only every time I see you.
It's my memory.
Amnesia.
No. It's different from that. I have no short-term memory. I know who I am. I know all about myself. Since my injury, I can't make new memories.
That's Memento, before that Back to the Future and Inception. We're talking those brain-teasing films where you walk out. Okay, Back to the Future doesn't quite fit the bill. But where you walk out and you can't quite work out what you've seen. Josh, tell us a little bit about Looper and how much of a brain teaser it is without giving away too much.
Oh, this will be a spoiler-free review. I think it's a film that sounds more complex in describing it than it actually is. I don't think this is going to do too many people's heads in, like perhaps Inception or some of those other films like Memento. It's directed by Rian Johnson, who did a great film a few years ago called Brick. It stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's the Hollywood's It Man at the moment, Bruce Willis and Emily Blunt. Okay, so it's set in Kansas in 2044. Time travel hasn't been invented yet, but it's been invented 30 years in the future, where the mob have taken it, it's become illegal, and now it's used almost solely for depositing bodies back in time to be assassinated by hitmen called loopers. You're kind of following so far?
Yeah, I'm following so far.
Okay, so basically the film is a sort of a Western sci-fi noir film about these hitmen loopers, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays one of these guys who assassinates these bodies as soon as they're sent back in time. And the problem is that one of the bodies gets free and decides it wants to kind of carve out its own, you know, his own destiny or his own future / past. This is a really intelligent film. The first half is great, though. The first half, which sets up the sci-fi world, sets up the concept. It doesn't really go into too much detail, and it gives itself a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card. There's a conversation where one of the characters says to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, look, do you really want me to go into this whole sort of time travel thing and explain it? That's going to be really boring, sort of with a knowing wink to the audience.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a strange moment halfway through this film where it sets up, it has the sci-fi noir, the hard-boiled kind of voiceover, and then it moves into the Western territory and it relocates to a rural setting in Kansas and becomes more about the farm and saving a family who may have some role to play in the future. This is a really broad audience appeal film. This is not the sort of the hardcore sci-fi film that's going to put fans off, and it's not the sort of the lowbrow one that's going to put the hardcore sci-fi fans off. I think this is a really good film with great performances. The only thing for me was the ending is a little too neat. And this sometimes happens with time travel films where you have the concept, which is quite complex, but it kind of wants to just pretend that it's not all that complex at the end. And I wanted a little bit more of a grey area, a bit more ambiguity at the end. But in saying that, this is a pretty classy film. And it's been out a while, but it's still doing great guns at across the board on a pretty much general release.
So it's tending down toward the undergraduate metaphysics, oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if that happened? Or is it more toward the, wow, let's just have time travel and just shoot at everything and lots of things will explode?
Yeah, well, it kind of straddles that balance. The first half is very much the kind of the sci-fi gun shooting, kind of gunslinger stuff. And then the second half is more the let's deal with the kind of consequences. And it starts to kind of play on, you know, the what would happen if we went back in time and killed Hitler. You know, this idea of if you go back into the past and you killed someone before they become the criminal that they might become. So it plays on those sort of concepts, but in a fairly general sense, not in a very complex sense, I don't think. But to its credit, I think it does it well.
Okay, look, that's Looper with Bruce Willis and Josh Gordon-Levitt. I'd love to hear of your brain-teasing film. I'm just going to say Blade Runner because I get to say that as many times as I can throughout the year, only because when you shift from the original to the director's cut, the whole meaning changes. 1300 222 774. I'd love to hear about your brain-teaser confusing film that had you scratching your head. There's one text here that kind of pretty much wraps it up. Timon Coburg, Donnie Darko is his nominated brain teaser, and Nearly Everything by David Lynch. Yes, I think. But I'm going to allow people to nominate their David Lynch films. Donnie Darko, Tim, if you want to tell me why it sort of burrowed its way into your brain, 1300-222-774. Someone else has texted in The Usual Suspects, though I knew what happened, but I still wasn't sure. That's from Ed. I'm not sure if Usual Suspects fits in the brain teaser category.
Oh,
because
I think it does.
It does, but at the end you know what's happened.
That's true.
So the brain teaser, I mean, Inception and Memento, you walk out going, I'm not sure what I just saw.
Really?
And even, well, maybe not so much Inception. I had the experience with Inception. I walked out, the person next to me was like, wow, that was great. And I was like, no, undergraduate metaphysics didn't really do it for me. 1300-222-774, your brain teaser. Josh Gordon-Levitt, before we move
Joseph
on.
Gordon.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, sorry. He was good. I mean, he's the cop. If people don't realize who he is, he's the cop in the latest Dark Knight film. He was in the 50-50 cancer film we spoke about earlier this year. He does well.
He is very good. When I said he's the it guy, he's got about three or four roles coming up soon. I think he's the next hot young thing for Hollywood talent.
Okay, look, I like him. Eddie. Oh, really? Eddie's got... sometimes they put up on the screen which film they're going to nominate, and sometimes they don't. And Eddie, I'm not sure if you're going to give us joy or not, but what's your brain teaser film?
The movie's called Revolver. To be honest, I finished watching it, and I really need someone to explain it to me.
This is the one by Madonna's husband, whose name I've forgotten. Guy Ritchie.
That's it. That's the one.
And what about it? Was it so confusing because it was so bad, or so confusing because it was genuinely trying to perplex you?
No, look, I got to admit I enjoyed it. I've watched it three times, and it's a crime plot primarily, and
yep.
Then eventually what happens is you understand a couple of the characters aren't what you believe they are, and on the DVD there's an explanation about from some psychiatrists that explain
really that's kind of pushing the DVD extras a bit, isn't it, Eddie?
Wow.
Quickly though, Eddie, you liked it or not? If you watched it three times, you obviously like it.
Well, look, I don't mind. I watched it three times to try and understand it, and I'm yet to fully comprehend it. So if anyone can help me with it, feel free to call in.
Okay. Look, thanks, Eddie. Thank you for calling. Can't say Guy Ritchie's one of my favourites, but I know he is incredibly popular. Before we move on to more of your calls, Wuthering Heights, really? They've remade Wuthering Heights, Josh?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, tell me a bit about it.
Based on the song by Kate Bush.
Yes.
Pause for
indeed.
Humor. Of course, this is the latest adaptation of the Emily Bronte novel. Really fascinating film in some ways. This is not your BBC traditional period piece adaptation. This is very much an overly stylized film. The first half, there's almost no dialogue. Just capturing the kind of the relationship between, you know, Cathy and Heathcliff. I don't think I need to describe the story. But most people should be familiar with it in some regard. But there's an incredible sensuality to this film. Lots of extreme close-ups. Lots of close-ups on things like hair, on the natural world. We get an incredible sense of the English moors with this relationship sort of taking place. And then at a certain point, the film leaps forward. So we get the later Heathcliff and Cathy. And then that's the one where there's far more dialogue and it's far more traditional. And I think the British director, Andrea Arnold, is really playing on this notion of, you know, this relationship that the kids have to each other, which is completely sensual, and it's, you know, it's this sort of childlike fascination. And then this sort of disenfranchised adults when the characters really become quite nasty. And the book is pretty dour in some regards, and Cathy and Heathcliff become pretty dislikable characters. But the structure of this film, the look of this film, you've got to go with it. If you resist the style, you're just going to become frustrated. If you go in expecting that kind of traditional, very, you know, articulate period piece film, you're going to be disappointed, like a couple of very talkative elderly people were behind me for this film. But I loved it. I thought it was fascinating. It was interesting. It was intriguing. And this is a really, I think, a worthwhile film.
So it's a good reboot. It doesn't go over old territory, bring something new.
It is. It's a very distinctive vision. And I think this director, from what I've heard from Britain, this is, I think, her third film. And each film is becoming kind of more and more interesting and playful. Yeah.
Any big name actors in it people might recognize?
No. One of the traits of this director is casting almost no names. There's one actress who plays Cathy as an elder, as an elder character, who was in the British series Skins. But I think that's the only thing she's known for.
Yeah, okay. So more, I guess, more a comment on the way relationships change as they get older?
Well, yeah. Or, also, this interesting, I mean, sort of the typical themes from Bronte's work, this sort of love, passion, revenge, yep. you know, the class stuff. One thing that they do change from the Bronte novel is they make Heathcliff a slave character. So there's an element of race that's not as present in the original work, which is, I think, Heathcliff's more of a sort of a gypsy character or yep. character from the Moors. And that adds a really interesting subtext, I think, to the film.
Wow, okay. Is that on general release, or you need to go to like a palace?
No, that's pretty limited. Palace cinemas and I think the Cinema Nova.
Okay. Look, someone's texted Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy as one of the brain teaser films, aren't you? I think you kind of... Aren't you sort of supposed to understand what's going on at the end of Tinker Tailor Soldier
Spy?
Yeah,
that's not much of a brain teaser.
I'm not sure, but if you've texted that in, text again and tell me what you didn't get about it. I mean, I loved Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Can I nominate a couple of things? Okay, we have...
Hold that thought. Let's go to... Oh, right, okay. I'm loving seeing what people are going to say up on the screen. Owen, calling from Mount Martha. What's your brain teaser film?
Yeah, g'day, Raph. I heard you talking about Inception and not being overly impressed, but an oldie but a goodie is Total Recall, which does what Inception did, but way, way better.
Oh, you're talking about the original Total Recall.
You better be talking about the original.
Yeah.
horrible remake version.
Yeah, okay. Did you ever read it's a novella, isn't it, the Philip K. Dick Total Recall?
No, I haven't actually. I should probably do that.
It helps that he had a good scriptwriter. But yeah, no, look, it is a great film, despite Sharon Stone and Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah, the the concept itself is quite neatly done.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fantastic.
It's a classy action film. Stuff your negativity.
I know, it stands up well. It stands up well. But don't know what's going on in Mount Martha. They're all, obviously, Josh has got a fan club down there. Mark's also calling from Mount Martha. Hi, Mark, what's yours?
Hi, guys. I was thinking 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, yes, that's right. Anyone who claims to understand what went on in that film, they're lying, aren't they? But you still like it, don't you?
I still like it, but I've read the book, I've watched the film, and I'm still scratching my head.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. The art that provokes forever. That's a great one. Thank you, Mark. And John in Werribee, what's yours?
12 Monkeys.
Ah, yes. That's another Bruce Willis. When did you last see it? What did you like about it?
Well, I think the director does a good job of doing, he's one of my favourite directors, but he does a great job of thinking that you're going to let the hero get the girl and sort of save the situation and himself, but then realise that it's in the future's best interest to let things happen as they did in the past happen again.
Yeah.
To make the future come true, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I liked it as well. Look, thank you, John. Josh, that's based on a... short 20-minute film or something?
It's a photo-Roman by a French director who only died recently, unfortunately, Chris Marker. It's a stunning film.
What's it called again?
La Jetée, the jetty or the pier.
Okay. So 12 Monkeys, that one. Now, you had a few on your list there.
Yeah, look, the fascinating thing about films like these, there was a number that came out in the late 90s, and I think they were tapping into that Y2K kind of paranoia, that existential paranoia. Where are we? Who are we? Are we at the beck and call of technology? Things like The 13th Floor, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Dark City, Existenz, Memento was obviously part of that, Mulholland Drive. I love that period of filmmaking. That was really, really fruitful stuff for academics like me.
Yeah, no, look, it's satisfying stuff.